And we're on text number 8 and 9. Please repeat. Naiva kinchit karomiti.
Naiva kinchit karomiti.
Yukto manyeta tattvavit.
Yukto manyeta tattvavit.
Pashyan srinvans prasanjigran.
Pashyan srinvans prasanjigran.
Ashnan gachan swapanshwasan.
Ashnan gachan swapanshwasan.
Pralapan visrajan grindan.
Pralapan visrajan grindan.
Unmishan nimishan api.
Unmishan nimishan api.
Indriyan indriyarteshu.
Indriyan indriyarteshu.
Vartanta iti tarayan.
Vartanta iti tarayan.
Na.
Na.
Never.
Never.
Eva.
Eva.
Certainly.
Certainly.
Kinchit.
Kinchit.
Anything.
Anything.
Karomi.
Karomi.
I do.
I do. Iti.
Thus.
Thus.
Yukta.
Yukta.
Engaged in the divine consciousness.
Engaged in the divine consciousness.
Manyeta.
Manyeta.
Thinks.
Thinks.
Tattvavit.
Tattvavit.
One who knows the truth.
One who knows the truth.
Pashyan.
Pashyan.
Seeing.
Seeing.
Srinvan.
Srinvan.
Hearing.
Hearing.
Sprishan.
Sprishan.
Touching.
Touching.
Jigran.
Jigran.
Smelling.
Smelling.
Ashnan.
Ashnan.
Eating.
Eating.
Gachan.
Gachan.
Going.
Going.
Swapan.
Swapan.
Dreaming.
Dreaming.
Shwasan.
Shwasan.
Breathing.
Breathing.
Pralapan.
Pralapan.
Talking.
Talking.
Visrajan.
Visrajan.
Giving up.
Giving up.
Grinan,
grinan,
accepting.
Accepting.
Unmishan,
unmishan,
opening.
Opening.
Nimishan,
nimishan,
closing.
Closing.
Api,
api,
in spite of.
In spite of.
Indriyani,
indriyani,
the senses.
The senses.
Indriya arteshu,
indriya arteshu,
in sense gratification.
In sense gratification.
Vartante,
vartante,
let them be so engaged.
Let them be so engaged.
Iti, thus.
Thus.
Dharayan,
dharayan,
considering.
Considering.
Translation. A person in the divine consciousness, although engaged in seeing, hearing, touching, smelling, eating, moving about, sleeping, and breathing, always knows within himself that he actually does nothing at all. Because while speaking, evacuating, receiving, or opening or closing his eyes, he always knows that only the material senses are engaged with their objects and that he is aloof from them. Purport. A person in Krishna consciousness is pure in his existence and consequently has nothing to do with any work which depends upon five immediate and remote causes: the doer, the work, the situation, the endeavor, and fortune. This is because he is engaged in the loving transcendental service of Krishna. Although he appears to be acting with his body and senses, he is always conscious of his actual position, which is spiritual engagement. In material consciousness, the senses are engaged in sense gratification, but in Krishna consciousness, the senses are engaged in the satisfaction of Krishna's senses. Therefore, the Krishna conscious person is always free, even though he appears to be engaged in affairs of the senses. Activities such as seeing and hearing are actions of the senses meant for receiving knowledge, whereas moving, speaking, evacuating, etc., are actions of the senses meant for work. A Krishna conscious person is never affected by the actions of the senses. He cannot perform any act except in the service of the Lord because he knows that he is the eternal servant of the Lord. Om Agyanati Mirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurunmilitam Jena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manopishtam Stapitam Jena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamahyam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Yuta Parakamalam Sri Gurun Vaishnavamsa Sri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatham Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvetam Sadvatutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakam Vitamsta He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bando Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostite Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavanishvari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Pancha Kalpa Drubhyasya Kripa Sindhubhyeva Cha Patitanam Pavanibhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Srivasani Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare Anyabhilashita Shunyam Jnana Karma Nyanabhritam Anukulyena Krishna Anushilanam Bhaktiruchite Sarva Parivanirmuktam Tapratvena Nirmalam Hrishikena Hrishikesha Sevanam Bhaktiruchite. The result of engaging in devotional service to Krishna, which means engaging our senses for the satisfaction of the senses of Krishna, that our senses become purified of designations. The designations come along with our identification with the body. Some person's thinking I'm a man, someone's thinking I'm a woman, someone thinking I'm a cat, and someone else is thinking I'm a dog. And we rely on the senses thinking that this is me. The body is the body of gates. You think about it, really, what the body is, a city of nine gates, Krishna says. And these senses are just little outlets to the outer world, to the external world. When we're in the womb of the mother, then at that time, our senses are internalized because, as Lord Kapiladev explained to his mother, the soul in that condition in the womb is actually able to have some connection with Krishna. He understands, I'm a soul, I'm in the womb of this mother, I'm within this body, and some fortunate souls, they'll cry out, and they're in a miserable condition, and they actually can have some full consciousness that the Lord is there. And they pray that, please let me engage in devotional service. And when I come out, please don't let me forget also. In fact, they say, don't let me come out. In fact, Shukadeva Goswami, he wouldn't come out for 16 years. Krishna had to come personally and say, you can come out. You're liberated. The liberated soul. But when the soul, when we come out into the world and the senses, you can see how a baby, when a baby first comes out, the senses are still a little bit internalized. And immediately when they come out into the world, the umbilical cord's cut and, right? You told me about this. The cord is cut, and immediately the baby, when he takes his first breath, the cord becomes collapsed. And something like that, huh? Not exactly.
Well, you cut the cord after.
After.
What happens is when the baby comes out and he hasn't started to breathe yet, the cord is, you can actually feel the blood still pulsating from the mother to the child, and it's very rigid. And as soon as the baby takes his first breath, the cord goes limp, and the blood supply that's being shunted from the mother to the child closes off. And actually, the baby's heart even goes through some changes. There's a wall in the heart that begins to close up. Sometimes people have a problem that it doesn't close up completely when they get older. But anyway, the wall of the heart closes up and then the baby's heart takes over its own circulation. That all begins with the baby's breath.
Wow.
Just like that.
It comes out, takes the breath, senses begin to manifest also over time. They become externalized towards the world. And you can see as the baby develops, begins to recognize forms and sounds, and the sound of their own voice, and then, of course, they become accustomed to the environment that they're in. And who are you? Well, I'm an American. And then, you know, what kind of American are you? Well, I'm a Christian, or I'm a, I'm Californian. I'm a 49er fan. Wherever you grew up, that environment, you know, you become. You take off from your last life, and then your senses become externalized in that condition. And for a conditioned soul, we have a complete dependence on the senses, thinking that they're very powerful. But actually, the senses are not independently powerful. They're completely dependent on higher powers. They're interdependent. That is that we cannot see without the power of the sun. Our power to see is directly related to the sun god. Otherwise, there's nothing we can see. We're completely dependent on that. So the senses, when they're in a conditioned, when we're in conditioned state, the senses become accustomed to acting independently and acting just for sense gratification. And as Krishna explains in the Bhagavad Gita, this comes from mental concoction, that there are certain things that make me happy, certain things that make me sad. Certain things are cold. When I go in the cold water in the winter, I think it's not so nice. In the summertime, it's very pleasing. It's sort of a mental concoction. Mantra sparsha stukonteya, shitoshna sukatukada, agama paino nityas, tamsta tikshashvabharata. Krishna says that these kind of sparshas, these interactions with the senses, they come and go like winter and summer seasons. But we interpret them. The mind, it comes into the mind. The mind interprets, this is good, this is bad. We have a little factory there. And one person's good is another person's bad. One man's food is another man's poison, making a concoction in the mind. So in Krishna consciousness, we engage the senses in the service of Hrishikesh. He's the master of the senses. Yat chakshuresha savita sakala grahanam rajasa masta suramutira shesha teja yasya gnaya brahmati sambrita kala chakru govindamari purusham tamaham bhajami. From this one verse from the Brahma Samhita, we can understand how dependent we are on Krishna. That sun that everyone's dependent on is just going around by, you know, some power that's being given by Govinda. Mukabahuru parebhya purushasya sramai saha chatvaro jagnire varna guna vipradreo pratak. The Srimad Bhagavatam says that all the different parts of human society are born out of the universal form of the Lord, and they're manifest from the body of the Lord. So ultimately, my existence, my senses are intimately linked with the Lord and with the universal form. And we're as extensions of the Lord. He expands himself. Eko Bahu Shyam. When Mahavishnu comes into this world, we know from when he manifests, he glances at the material energy and the living entities become placed in matter, and they take up their karma from their previous exposure to matter, and they go on with their sense activities. So an intervention has to come, and the senses have to become purified. So that requires knowledge. One has to come into knowledge that I'm not my body and that I actually have an eternal relationship with Krishna. And therefore, it's mentioned in the Chaitanya Charitamrita that Srila Vyasadeva came and manifested this knowledge so that we could understand sambandhagyan. That means our relationship with Krishna, that this body is a temporary place. I'm only here, these senses are very limited, but my main purpose in life is to reconnect with Krishna. And then I become, actually, my real purpose becomes awakened. I become wealthy, happy by connection. So as soon as we engage the senses in the service of the master of the senses, Hrishikesh, then the purification begins to take place. Brahmarpanam brahmahavir brahmagnau brahmanohutam tenaiva brahmagantavyam brahmakarma samadhina. Krishna mentions in the Bhagavad Gita that whatever is used in the service of the supreme Brahman, it also takes on that same quality. So when you take an iron and you put it in a fire, it's although it's iron, it heats up and it becomes hot, hot, hotter, and then it becomes like fire. It's non different from fire. So anything which comes in contact with the supreme Brahman, it also takes on that nature. And it becomes purified. So iha yasya harer dasye karmana manasa gira nikila api avastasu jivan muktasu uchite. Rupa Goswami says, this is the meaning of liberation, that you, not as Prabhupada said, not that you're going to grow four arms all of a sudden. But if you engage your senses, all of your senses, karmana, manasa, gira, your activities, your mind, and your speech in the service of the Supreme Lord, then you'll be in a liberated state immediately just by that activity. So devotional service means to engage the service, engage the senses in the service of the Lord, and then they become actually satisfied. When Narada Muni left home, he was only a little boy, but he had achieved the association of great sadhus, Bhaktivedantas, who came to his house, and they stayed there during the Chaturmasya time, and they were hearing and chanting all day long during Chaturmasya, and he started doing some service for them. Then the little boy, Narada, asked for some remnants of their food, and they said, yes, you can take. So he took that. By their association, he became purified by hearing from them, by being in able to take the remnants. Then by the Lord's arrangement, when they left, his mother went out to milk the cow and got bitten by a snake, and she died. So he was left alone. He went away from his home, and he began traveling across country and many different places, seeing the creation of the Lord, depending on Krishna. And he sat down to meditate in one lonely forest. And when he did, he actually had connected with Krishna. Krishna appeared to him. And at that time, every one of his limbs and every one of his senses independently became enlivened in spiritual bliss. It was like he was swimming in an ocean of complete happiness. And then the spell broke, and he came back to his external senses. In other words, he realized his real transcendental senses. We have senses, they're only covered over. Prabhupada used to say, like the tongue, if you take and wrap gauze around it, and then you eat a rasgulla. That's the effect of having a material body. It blocks out our actual spiritual senses. But through devotional service, through connection with Krishna, the original senses will reawaken. And Narada Muni's senses reawakened. He felt ecstasy independently in every limb of his body. Angani yasya sakalendriya vrittimanti pashanti panti kalayanti chiram jaganti ananda chinmayasya dujvala vigrahasya govindamari purusham tamaham bhajami. This is what Krishna's body is like. Every limb is transcendental. He can see with his hands, he can eat with his eyes or his ears. So we offer prayers and he accepts it. He can take from anywhere also. Tarejati tannaijati tadure tadvantike tarantarasya sarvasya taru sarvasya sibayataha. It doesn't matter how far away he is. He's perfect. His senses are perfect. And when we come in contact with Krishna and his senses and through serving him, our senses also reawaken, our transcendental senses. And our senses also become perfect in association with Krishna and independently enlivened. Narada Muni, when he lost that state of complete ecstasy, he was in great anxiety because he was floating beyond this material world. In other words, he was no longer controlled by the three modes of material nature. He was beyond the Viraja River. He was floating in an ocean of bliss. And then he came back to his senses in this world. Then, thinking that it was something mechanical, he tried to, again, perform some pranayama, some meditation, and fix the Lord within his mind. You know, sometimes like you're chanting japa, and you're feeling some happiness, and then all of a sudden, what happened? Just a minute ago. Where is it? You know, Krishna is independent. He's a person. He can appear. So he spoke to Narada Muni. In an unembodied voice, he said, those who are not completely perfect in this lifetime cannot maintain my darshan. Now you have to perform regulated devotional service. And at the end of this life, you will be liberated. So the process that we're performing now, we may also get a glimpse of this happiness that comes from connection with devotional service. Devotees feel it. You know, when your senses are engaged, for instance, we have many engagements here, like the Sankirtan festival. I know many devotees, after the last Sankirtan festival, wrote to me, although it lasted for 3 weeks and everyone was fully engaged and doing so many services, and then afterwards I got letters saying that I don't want to stop. I want to keep going. I want to keep doing this. And whether you're cooking or performing, you know, puja for Krishna or chanting, all of these in connection, when we get a taste, we feel like I don't want to stop, and the senses are becoming purified. We may not realize the full result of our activities in this lifetime until we give up this present body. Prabhupada mentions this in the light of the Bhagavad, that just like in Chaturmasya, people sit down and they perform austerities and they do a great, you know, yajnas, hearing and chanting for 4 months. But then they don't realize the effects of all their studies and austerities until they actually go back out again into the world. Like Satyadeva was saying, going to some of the workshops, then later on he experiences that. So Prabhupada says that this lifetime is a Chaturmasya-like existence, and that at the end of this life, we'll be able to realize the full effect of our, you know, the practice of devotional service. But even in this life, when one engages one's senses fully in the service of the Lord, the senses will become purified and will experience what is being talked about in this verse. Naiva kinchit karomiti, all the whatever is going on externally with the senses, we'll be able to perceive that actually the senses are mechanical. The eyes are like little lenses, you know, and all the other functions of the body are going on. It's actually miraculous. I was thinking about it today. The heating and cooling system that's going on in the body is because I was doing some exercise, and then, you know, then the body just adjusts while you're doing it. It's like a little thermostat is there. And then there's the called homeostasis, right? That we maintain a certain temperature. You start moving faster, and then you start perspiring, so your body will cool down. And I mean, so many functions that even after studying for many, many years, they're not completely understood by medical science. So the body's a machine, and we'll become aware of that fact more, that the body's going on, and that we're different from the body. And this all can be achieved actually by the process of engaging our senses in the service of Krishna with full consciousness that we're serving the Lord. And then that purification takes place. Atashri Krishna Namadi Nabhaved Grayam Indriye Seva Mukhi Hijivado Swayameva Spuratyada. Spurti means that Krishna will appear to us. He'll actually manifest. And that starts off with engagement of the senses, beginning with the tongue in the service of the Lord. It's just amazing how if you repeat the names of Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, just by repeating the names of Krishna, your senses can come under control, especially if you listen very carefully and you do it in a prayerful way. It's so powerful that all the other senses will actually follow along. And when we have a taste for chanting Hare Krishna, this is ultimately the real way that the senses become controlled. Nothing else seems very appealing. That's the only way to control the senses. If nothing else seems appealing, just like if you eat food and you're satisfied, you don't need anything else and you know it for yourself. And that's what's necessary. We actually have to feel complete. We have to feel whole. And that takes place in devotional service. And particularly it takes place through Samkirtan. That means Samyak Kirtan, or the complete glorification of the Lord in all times, in all places, in all circumstances. Rupa Goswami recommends that we mold our life in such a way that we're always in contact with Krishna Nam and the pastimes of the Lord and devotional service. Tandrama Rupa Charitari Sukirtananu Smrityo Kramena Rasana Masini Niyoja Tishtan Vraje Tananuragi Jananugami Kalam Nayed Akilam Ityupadesha Saram. He gives the essence of all advice that you should spend your full time engaging in hearing, chanting, remembering the pastimes of the Lord. That way, senses very quickly become purified. Srinvatam Swakata Krishna Punya Shravana Kirtana Hridyantaksto Hibadrani kridunoti suritsatam, vidunoti suritsatam, means that Krishna is there in the heart and he responds when we're engaging in devotional service, and he purifies the heart, selectively helps us move out material desires so that we can become steady and fixed in devotional service. So this is not just theory, but it's actually practice, and it's necessary for those in human life to attain this stage through the practice of sadhana bhakti, by regulating the senses. But it's not just regulating the senses independently of anything. It's regulating them in the service of the Lord. It's not an abstract kind of renunciation or a sense control, but everything is in connection with Krishna. Just like fasting, when we fast on Ekadashi, or we fast on Janmashtami, and that's in connection with glorifying the Lord. Hare Krishna. Om Tat Sat. Any points? Yes.
Just your last comment. With this verse that Krishna is describing so nicely, what we should be expecting to happen to us, that if we're making the progress in Krishna consciousness, he's describing the state of realization. Beginning state of realization that one will have from chanting Hare Krishna. And I was just reminded me of a letter that Prabhupada wrote to someone. I don't know. A lot of times when I read these letters, I wish I could read the letter that was sent to Prabhupada. But it must have been, you know, how will people make progress in the Kali Yuga? And what is the process of realization? And Prabhupada wrote back to him that if people come and they join the kirtan and they repeatedly join the kirtan, repeatedly take prasadam, repeatedly hear this transcendental vibration, one day they'll wake up. One day a light will go on. And really, this verse is about when the light comes on. When the light comes on, we'll actually, even though we're maybe volunteering at the hospital or wherever, whatever we're doing, we won't forget, you know, what our allotment, even though we're still within the body. We're liberated even though we're in the body. So it's just a very encouraging verse, and that letter by Srila Prabhupada is also very encouraging, that we should expect this light to come on, and if it hasn't already. And if it's not coming on, we should ask why. And maybe we have to readjust our practice or whatever.
Arigato. More points? Yes, Bharat.
In Bhagavatam, it's mentioned that how we have to engage our senses with Krishna service. So the person, how to engage our legs with Krishna service. So if we don't use our legs to go to temple, so our legs are nothing but tree trunks. Tree cannot move. By not using your legs to go to temple, connect a tree, it cannot move anywhere. And you're not using your hands to serve Krishna, nothing but decorating a dead body. Cannot be, it's not useful. Simply you have a hand, not using for Krishna service. At the same time, if you're not using your eyes to see Krishna lotus face, a lotus feet, just the eyes painted on a peak of feather, no use. So can you explain that we have to engage our senses with Krishna service? And as she asked the question, how to chant, and if you get something in between, so actually we had a plan for chanting also. If some prayer, if some service comes, you had a plan for it. Get up 4 o'clock. Nobody will trouble you. If you chant 4 o'clock, 5 o'clock, you will be troublous. Get up early, do chanting, then do whatever you want. So you're waiting for some service and balancing everything difficult. So you have to plan for that where you get a time so no one will trouble us early morning. So if you're chanting early morning, you can balance your chanting, you can help a lot of poor people after 6 hours or so. No, that is where you can help, you can balance everything. So you are getting up late and you are doing your work and you want to chant, you want to do everything. That cannot work in the material world. So that means we are not giving priority for Krishna. So you are giving priority for ourselves first in 24 hours of time. You are giving, whenever you get a chance, I chant. Chanting you are getting lowest priority. The chanting nothing was simply chanting the names. We are actually engaging the service of Radha Krishna. The service was more important than helping other people also. One report was Prabhupada, we are opening a lot of temples all over the world. A lot of people are struggling for the food. Why don't we feed all the poor people? Prabhupada asked, very good question you asked me. I opened a lot of temples. Okay, this life I will feed more hungry people. Whatever I can. So everybody will be happy. Who will save them next life? So I have to not here to save them. So whatever you do, you can help only for this lifetime. The Krishna consciousness is not for this lifetime. It helps them to get rid of the birth and death. They go back to spiritual world, then no more hunger.
So, thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Akurnath has a point.
So one thing in this verse, it says, Naiva Kinchit Kuromiti, that they're thinking, I'm not doing anything. That in the beginning of the chapter, Arjuna was asking, is it better to renounce work and become a jnani, or to engage as a yogi in working in devotion? And Krishna said, they're both good, but it's better to be working in devotion. And now he's explaining, those who are working in devotion, yukto, those who are yukto, they're working in devotion, they can see that while the body is working, they're still transcendental to the material activities that are going on in the world. The people, and getting to back to this point, the people who are doing things like without spiritual consciousness, without true understanding of Krishna and devotion to Krishna, if they're doing things like serving people, or if they fail to serve people when they should, then they get reactions, some kind of material reactions. They have to be materially engaged. But if someone is actually working in devotion to Krishna, then everything is perfectly arranged so that they don't get any reactions for their work, even though they may appear to be just doing the same thing. One man may go to a factory and he's not a devotee, and another man goes to a factory and he is a devotee, and they appear to be doing more or less the same thing while they're at the factory. Of course, after the whistle blows, one of them goes to the bar and the other one goes to the temple. But they appear to be doing the same thing, but actually the quality of their activity, for those who know how to distinguish matter and spirit and so forth, it's not on the same level, because he's seeing my senses are engaged with their objects. But he's connected to the spiritual platform, so he's not identifying with the material activities that are going on.
Thank you very much. One last point I wanted to make is that everyone's at different levels of advancement in devotional service. And according to that, Krishna gives different ways that we can engage. And not everyone's on the same level. And often the question comes, so how do I make advancement to a higher level? And the answer always is that you have to apply yourself in the level that you're at right now. And in fact, Bhaktivinoda Thakur mentions that true beauty is seeing someone who understands what level they're at and that they act in that level. If they try to do more, it looks it's unseemly. And if they do less, then it's also, they're not taking full advantage. It's also not very attractive. But if we're aware of what level we're at now and we act accordingly, then we'll make progress naturally. And it is a descending process. It's coming from Krishna. So if we engage ourselves faithfully in the level we're at now, to the capacity that we can perform now, like some people, it's very difficult for them to get up early, early in the morning and chant 16 rounds. In fact, impossible. I've talked to some people and they, you know, one round is an insurmountable thing. It's very difficult, but they start there and you get a little mercy, a little momentum over time. Or even somebody can't chant any rounds, but Krishna gives this progression in the 12th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita where he says, you know, some people, their minds are always engaged directly in thinking of me, and they're engaged 24 hours a day in devotional service. This is a very high level. He says, if you can't do that, then engage in the regulative principles, like sadhana bhakti, and gradually you'll develop that. And if you can't do that, he said, then try to be engaged in some kind, give your money. Like do nishkam karma yoga. It means you're working anyway, so you should give the fruits of your labor. You give the fruits of your labor and you'll get knowledge from that. From that giving away the fruits of your labor, you'll gradually get understanding more of your Atma. If you can't do that for some reason, then you can be charitably disposed and do some kind of volunteer work for others in that spirit. And gradually that will help you come to a higher level. So, you know, taking care of a community of devotees is a huge project. It's not that everyone has to fit in the exact same category. Everyone has to have a place where they feel comfortable serving Krishna. That's the idea. They're concentric circles. I mean, some people, naturally, they're like shot from a cannon, you know, and they just come out, they come out of the womb chanting, and they keep going, and they're like, and they're so full of Sukriti from their last life, as Krishna mentions in the 6th chapter of Bhagavad Gita. It continues on. It's a continuation, and you can see it in many people. It's obvious. Other people are, you know, starting from a different level. But it doesn't matter. They're all dear to Krishna, and whatever particular level someone's at, there's an engagement in devotional service. After all, Krishna is everything. Aham sarvasya prabhavo matak sarvam pravartate iti matva bhajante mam buddha bhava samanvita. We're not talking about something sectarian or something. Everyone can have an engagement in devotional service and a connection to Krishna. The Vedas themselves are a huge project because they're giving a idea for every living entity how they can be connected to Krishna. There's even in the different sections of the Puranas, there's for people in the mode of ignorance. Say, yeah, you can eat meat, but just do it like this for now. Do it as a ritual and only kill this kind of animal, and you got to do it on this kind of night, and you have to whisper a mantra in its ear and the whole thing. You know, householder life is actually it's a regulative kind of a program so that we can become purified. You know, after all, yan maitu naire griya meri sukham hitucham kanyudyanena karayova dukha dukham. Prahlad Maharaj says, it's the source of all the stress. You know, the combination of male and female. Pumsa striya maitu napavamitam tayomito hridaya grantamahu. It makes a hard knot in the heart. And then ato griya kshetra sutapta vitara janasya moho yamaham mameti. Then we have to work hard because we have to maintain it all. It's much easier just to not get involved. You never have to go to Home Depot. And so, really, it's a fact. Have you ever been to Home Depot? So, well, he does it for service, for building the temple. But the point is that everyone has a place and a way that they can engage in devotional service. And that is correct. That is proper. Whatever situation you're in now, you don't have to try to force yourself to be more. You have to act properly in the situation you're in now. And then you'll move ahead in devotional service. And it comes by Krishna's arrangement. It's almost like you go on in devotional service and you wake up one morning and you're more advanced. It's like magic. Because Krishna's there in the heart and he's arranging all these things. You know, we're born in a certain place, right? Whose arrangement was that? Did I think that's up, how to be born in Walnut Creek in Kaiser Hospital? I had nothing to do with it. Daivanitrena. It was a divine arrangement. I was placed there. And I can see it all now. I mean, not all of it, but I'm starting to see. You know, both my parents died. It was a huge thing. Them leaving and, like, Now the family is different. You know, I see the whole thing differently. When I was a kid, I thought, this is my family. Merry Christmas, everybody. You know, would you get me? And you know, that was my reality, right? And then, you know, practicing devotional service, your parents die, go away. Then you see, everything is different. I see the world differently. You know, it's like the posts are coming out, the pegs are coming out, and you see, oh, yeah, right, this is all true. It manifests. Different periods in our life, we have different experience and realization according to where we are practically. So it is actually beautiful, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, to engage to the capacity that you're able to right now. That's perfect. And then you'll gradually make advancement by the service of the Lord. And in a community like our community here, which is a beautiful community, it's wonderful. We have to accommodate everybody because some may be very advanced, some may be in the middle, and you know, we have to give everyone accommodation and encourage them. That's like on Sankirtan. When we go out on Sankirtan, we encourage everybody, right? You know, when you're out and you meet people, you don't reject them because they're not chanting 16 rounds or whatever, but you see that, you know, there's different ways of looking at people. Let's put it like this. There's one way you can look at people according to their past, right? Oh, you're no good. I know what you did in the past, right? You could say, and then, or somebody a little more generous, they can judge somebody according to their present. Well, I see how you are now. I guess, you know, we'll forget the past, right? But the most generous, the Vaishnavs, those are those who see people according to their future. And they know that you're not your body. You're a soul. And when you come in contact with Krishna consciousness, your material life, one way or another, is finished. You have a bright future, young jiva. You know, this is accommodating. This is generous. This is Sankirtan. That's what Sankirtan means, to go out and glorify the Lord, and especially to see that he's in everyone's heart. And especially to treat other living beings with kindness and worship the Lord in their heart by giving them the opportunity to come closer somehow or other. And if it's, you know, a person is like, I don't believe in Bhagavad Gita, I don't like that. Well, here, have some prasadam, here's a lollipop. And whatever it is that we're interested in helping a person, we have this motto, fan the spark. Wherever you find it, fan it. If you find it in yourself, fan it. Right? Wherever you find it. This is, we start with ourselves first. So if you find a spark, something that's where you're attracted, fan it. Do more. Increase. This is Krishna giving us something. It's actually a reward. He's helping us to move forward in devotional service. Prabhupada once said, it's just like in the government employment. When you act in an exemplary way and you do your work, then they come forward and say, you're doing a good job. You could move forward. And we'll get a promotion, but it comes from above. We can't push our way forward. And we should encourage everybody. In fact, we should have the motto here to encourage the heck out of everybody. Because everybody needs encouragement, isn't it? I mean, everybody needs encouragement because, you know, there's so many forces against us in this, especially in the Kali Yuga age. Philosophies and bad news everywhere. It's hard to get around in the world and it's expensive and, you know, all these, we have so many different things going against us. So devotees should encourage each other. We should find out where the spark is and encourage. This is a happy association. Machita makata prana bhodayanta parasparam katayanta shamam nityam tushanti cha ramanti cha. You actually get satisfaction from this, from nourishing the others. And the more advanced devotees, they nourish everybody. Everywhere they go, they want to nourish others. They want to give them. And the real nourishment, they understand. What is real nourishment? It's actually spiritual. To give them spiritual encouragement and a way that they can move forward. To make a bridge to them. Then there's actual, something actually happened. There was actually a real movement. The person moved ahead, and that soul is beginning their process back home, back to Godhead. But they need divine intervention. It's not as in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Krishnadas Kaviraj says, it's not swata, it's not automatic. It's not that people just automatically come out of the process of birth and death. After all, it's described as anadi, It's beginningless. It will go on forever. Maya is eternal. She just appears at different times, but she's eternal. And our stay here is eternal also, until there's divine intervention. So if we can divinely intervene in our own lives, help ourselves, and then help others, this will be the greatest kindness, the greatest kind of welfare activity to help. This is what's recommended by the Sankirtan movement. And all these things can be realized also in the process, controlling the senses. Yes?
Actually, as a lay person coming to listen to you, I thought it's a good thing for lay people to know how to know the difference between sadhu. Sadhu means people who are good, who wants to devote to knowledge, versus someone who is pretending to be a sadhu. How would you know the difference? Someone else who is wearing just clothes like you, wearing also clothes. How do we know? How do we, as a lay people, how do we know? So, again, as a lay person, as a grown-up person, being to known quite a few organizations, including ISKCON and many others, one of the tests I usually use, whether the person who is giving knowledge, if he is unselfish, he just wants to do good to you, and you pay them guru dakshina only if you feel like it, based on your own happiness. But the good person won't come and trick me into taking all my possessions by force, by deception, or by other means. Yeah. So I know ISKCON actually. Like, I've seen you in some other locations in Bombay also, and I've received nothing but great and of the greatest knowledge. That's the biggest kind of donation anyone can give. And expected nothing. They didn't use any trick to take my possessions. Whereas the Catholic organization, the Mother Teresa, who was the arm of that one, we need to go and do our homework, actually, and look the word Inquisition. The entire land of the Americas and all the countries up to South America, how what they did, it's a homework to study. Between a person who wanted to dissipate a good work, good deed, without any selfish intent, versus taking away all the land, all the freedom of big amount of Native Americans with a swath of land, what occurred. It's like a homework for us as a lay people to also know and to see. So if Catholic organization with Mother Teresa was part of it, what they did in the past or what they do, you know, open school orphanages and try to help with the intention. It's a great work, but if there is not a bad intent, if they have an intent of converting or taking over the political power or this, then we need to learn as a lay people whether they are really good or they have an intent to take over the country, take over their land. The word Inquisition is a homework for people to really look, study for 2-3 weeks at least. You know, internet is available, books are available, libraries are free knowledge. To know the difference between the good, great knowledge like a pure gold versus impersonators who are also trying to act as if they are doing a good thing, but their intent, that's the difference between a real gold versus the fake gold, versus a person who wants to dissipate great knowledge without those intent, versus people who wants to do the good deeds and take away everything you have. So it's nice to see, you know, that organization, as someone mentioned about, you mentioned about the Catholic use the word. It's really a very interesting thing to know. We should know what is, as a lay people, whether the knowledge is coming as a pure water, as a nectar, or if it is just a show which just says nectar, but it could be a hidden intent of something else. It could be poison, maybe. You never know.
Thank you.
It's nice to learn, I think, and you will get the answer about those people who act to do good things, but their intent, by this, you know, previous examples and stuff, versus ISKCON, I think they haven't done any inquisition since they have been in inception. I'm pretty sure.
However, I will say that, let me say this, just as a final comment, because we've kept everyone here so long tonight, that no organization or institution is exempt from missteps or fanatics. It doesn't matter where you go. Every organization, there's going to be a spectrum of people involved that start with neophyte people who tend to be very fanatical because their faith is untested and because they are very inflexible and unable to accommodate any other view. And therefore, they take a hard line. And there may also be, in institutions, they may be infiltrated. I mean, in the early days of ISKCON, we took in everybody. We didn't care who they were because anybody who breathed, they could come in and lie down and be part of the organization. And we didn't screen anybody or know who was there. So I wouldn't want to make a blanket statement about any organization or any institution, including ISKCON, because it's a big organization and has lots of different kinds of people, from very beginners or maybe people who have come here with the wrong intent. Sometimes that happens too. And that all gets mixed in. The thing that's important is that we should find for ourselves, understand, as you're saying, what is real knowledge based on standard books like Bhagavad Gita. Krishna's, it's not a secret who God is. It's an open secret. Krishna says, Raja Vidya Raja Guyam Pavitramida Mutabam Pratyakshavagamam Dharmyam Susukam Kartamavyam. It's not a secret. It's just that we're ignoring it. It's clear. We know who it is. We should study, understand these things, and we should be an example ourselves. Whatever we want to see changed in the world, people say all the time, the government should do something or the authority should do something. Well, you have to do it. You have to start with yourself and set the example. And in any organization, you'll find all kinds of people in different ways, but we can really only control our own selves and our own actions. Hare Krishna. Thank you, everybody. It's so good to see you here. I mean, in this kind of assembly where we're sitting and talking about spiritual topics, is the most recommended kind of process, that by sitting together and hearing, and also from different angles of seeing. It's important. It's not that bringing in different arguments and things. These are in the Shastra, in the Vedanta Sutra. Vyasadeva will bring up a point, and then he'll give the opposite opinion. And then he'll go on to, grapple with that and deal with it so it comes out, so we understand Siddhanta. So discussion in these kinds of assemblies on a repeated basis, it builds faith within the heart to understand what is correct and what is our actual purpose in life and how to attain it. We have to finish here. Nope, done. After, next time. Hold it. So we're going to go on for Artik, and then we'll have Mahaprasadam, and we're getting ready for the monthly Sankirtan festival for Janmashtami and Vyasa Puja, because Rath Yatra is now behind us. And I want to thank everybody who was involved here. I was so proud of all the devotees here. Sanatan Sundaram was like a great general. I saw how, he had that look of a general, and he had his lieutenants behind him, like Narahari Dave and many others. It's hard for me to mention names because I don't know everyone who was involved. But I did pick up on the fact that the Berkeley Temple had called and asked for help, and they got a lot of it from the devotees here. Dozens and dozens of devotees went over to help in different things. I was very impressed with how Sanatan Sundaram Prabhu cooked all the prasadam for passing out during the parade, along with Narahari Dave and a whole crew of devotees who helped, which we'll have to identify later and mention in writing. And then all the book distributors here, who year after year have done the book distribution at the Rath Yatra and have become more efficient and are totally focused on making improvements every year so that things can become better. And it was a nice scene. I had so many devotees come up to me who were watching how the devotees were distributing books and managing the tables, that were just awestruck seeing the coordination and the devotion and the expertise of the devotees who were engaged in that. So many people went over, many devotees from here went over and volunteered, and it was a very wonderful thing to see the devotion and the outpouring from everybody. And now we're on to the monthly Sankirtan festival for Janmashtami, which is starting actually just the weekend after this weekend. And so we'll be hearing a lot more about that in writing and in announcements and getting ready again to give everyone an opportunity to go out and distribute prasadam, distribute books, to meet people. And we invite everybody to come out. You'll feel great satisfaction from engaging and then offering the result to the Lord on the Janmashtami day. Goprimanande Hari. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Srimad Bhagavad Gita ki jai. Gaur Bhakta Vrinda ki jai. Goprimanande Hari Bol.